Hey folks, it's time for another episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about boys lacrosse. There was a big showdown between Shenandoah and Niskayuna back on Saturday. We'll also talk some high school softball, some high school baseball. And is it really too early to talk about Section 2 football? No, it isn't, because they just put out the schedules for the 2019 season along with the new alignments. So we'll go over all of that on this episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome back. Well, hello there. This is Rob Jones from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com, welcoming you to the first episode of the spring sports season for the Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. As anybody knows around here, it does take a while for the spring sports season to kick into full gear. Usually in early April, fields are not ready, especially in sports like baseball and softball, where field conditions are so important. But in boys and girls lacrosse, there are a number of schools that have artificial turf fields. There's also a couple of other venues that these teams can go to play. While the fields, the regular lacrosse fields, the grass fields, they, set up so that, they can be played on. So, back on Saturday, April 6th, over at Union College, which does have a turf field, Niskayuna hosted Shenandoah in a matchup of two top-notch Suburban Council boys lacrosse teams. Now, I did expect it to be a close game. Didn't turn out that way. Certainly not in the second and third quarters when Niskayuna outscored Shen 10-0 on their way to a 14-2 victory. Now, early on, it looked like it was going to be a close game. Niskayuna kind of got off to a slow start. They managed a couple of goals in that first quarter. Shen got one back late in the period, so it was 2-1 after one period, and I kind of thought, all right, this is going to be how the game goes. It should be back and forth, kind of interesting. But then Niskayuna's offense took over in that second quarter. Gabe Nish, who scored the first goal for Niskayuna in the game, he scored again on a man-up situation, less than 2 minutes into the second quarter. Then Dave Guest got a goal, and then Finn McCullough got a goal. So all of a sudden, went from 2-1 to 5-1. Shen, they tried to get back into the game. They started getting some pressure on Niskayuna's defense. But Drew Dalliard, he came up with some big saves in that stretch midway through the second quarter, and then McCullough, scored on an assist from Brock Behrman on another man advantage situation with about 3:05 left to go in the second quarter. And then Nish struck again with 6 seconds left in the period, and suddenly what had looked like could be a close game was now a 7-1 lead for Niskayuna. And then, from there, the Silver Warriors continue to pour it on. Couple interesting things about Niskayuna, from what I could see. I know that a lot of people, talk about Griffin King being, one of Niskayuna's top weapons. He only had one assist in this game. It really was kind of the Gabe Nish and Finn McCullough show there. Each of them managed to score four goals. I shouldn't say managed. Each of them scored four goals in the game. Brock Behrman, who's only a freshman this year, he wound up with a goal and four assists. Niskayuna's got a lot of talent across the board, and it really showed in this particular game. And that's something that I think is going to be the difference for Niskayuna the rest of the way. I mean, if they can get this kind of balanced scoring, if they can prove that they have three or four or five offensive weapons out there on the field at any given time, it's going to be very difficult for any Suburban Council team to defend. And that's really, really important in lacrosse. Shen, you know, they came in, you know, with a full head of steam. They had won their first couple of games. I think they can still be a big force in the Suburban Council this year. Don't get me wrong. Jacob Aragonis, he didn't have the best day out there in terms of allowing goals, but at the same time, he also stopped 12 shots in three quarters of work. He stopped as many shots as he allowed. And I think going forward, Aragonis is going to be one of the better goaltenders in the Suburban Council this year. Jen has to do probably a better job of winning center draws. They struggled with that against Niskayuna, but then again, as I said before, I think with Niskayuna's depth of talent, you know, it's, and with their stick skills, I get the distinct feeling that a lot of teams are going to struggle getting the ball away from Niskayuna on the center draws. But I do like Shen. I do think they're a good team. Certainly, they will be right up there challenging Niskayuna if Niskayuna even falters. I sincerely doubt that Niskayuna will falter this year. But, I mean, you know, Shen's going to be really good this year, too. Boston Spa, which posted a 10-1 victory over Shaker, they look like they're going to also be very good this year. Saratoga, which, you know, pushed Shen in their matchup, I think Saratoga's looking a little stronger this year. You can't rule out Bethlehem and Gilderland for making some noise in the Suburban Council. But really, when you think about it, it just seems like, once again, Niskayuna is head and shoulders above the rest in not just the Suburban Council, but in Section 2 in general. Now, Niskayuna will be playing in Class A this year, just like last year. So, it should be interesting to see, should Niskayuna win the Section 2 title, just like last year, how far they get into the state playoffs. But for now, I certainly think that you have to list Niskayuna as the favorite to win the Section 2 title, certainly the Suburban Council title. So that's kind of an early look at Boys Lacrosse here in Section 2. And when we get back, I'll talk a little bit about high school softball here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. As promised, a little bit about what's going on in high school softball, where there's a team in the Colonial Council that I think is worth keeping an eye on this year, folks, and that's Mahanison. Over the course of the last couple of days here, on Wednesday, April 10th, and Thursday, April 11th, Mahanison beat Ichabod Crane 5-1 and then came back the next day and defeated Chalmont. This is pretty big for Mahanison. Now, this is, of course, their first year in the Colonial Council for softball. They did pretty well last year in the Suburban Council. They finished with an above 500 record. So certainly, any team that does well in Suburban Council, at least, you know, any Class A team that does that well in Suburban Council, if they move into a league like the Colonial, which is very good, but I'd say probably a notch below the Suburban Council in terms of competitiveness, I think it's more to Mahanison's speed, and they're taking advantage of it. I mean, they've, you know, reeled off some nice wins here in the early going. The win over Ichabod Crane, the defending Class B champion here in Section 2, that was impressive. Few things about that game. Pitcher Maddie Muller was, I wouldn't say she was dominant. I mean, yes, she only allowed three hits, but she also struck out three batters. What she managed to do to Ichabod Crane's offense was she just managed to get them to hit the ball to the fielders. I mean, it was kind of a common theme throughout this game. Ichabod Crane just could not get many balls to drop, basically, is the way you'd say it. Basically, I think Muller induced a lot of ground balls, and the infield did a very good job of fielding them and, you know, getting the outs. Offensively, Mahasin showed some power in this one. Michaela Arcate, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. If I didn't, someone please correct me so I get the correct pronunciation going forward. But Michaela Arcate had three hits on the day. The first of which was an RBI single in the bottom of the first inning that pleaded a run. First run of the game, actually. And then Arcate led off the bottom of the fourth, I believe, with a double and wound up scoring the go-ahead run for Mahasin on an error. And then in the bottom of the fifth inning, Arcate came back up to the plate and crushed a home run over the left center field wall. I just, you knew the moment she hit it, it was gone. And at that point, Mahasin had a 4-1 lead. They got another run across in that fifth inning. And from there, you know, Muller just, you know, shut the door on Ichabod Crane. And then the next day, Muller comes back. I didn't even know about this, but I found out it was in the Daily Gazette article. Maddie Muller's father is the head coach of the Chaumont softball team. Yeah. Awkward? I don't know if it was awkward, but I will tell you this. Muller dominated Chaumont as well. Mahasin wound up winning that game as well. So back-to-back wins, as I said, over Ichabod Crane and Chaumont. Really kind of cast Mahasin as, I think, one of the favorites now in the Colonial Council. I don't know if they can keep this going the rest of the way, but certainly you have to look at these, you know, two victories and think to yourself, this team's really good. And another thing about them, they're also really young. Last year, they started 5 freshmen. Of course, they're now sophomores this year. But when you have 5 starters who are considered underclassmen by high school standards, you know that, you know, you've got a solid core for this year and for the next 2 years. So, honestly, I think the combination of having a core group that has already played together for a year, this is their second year together, and moving into a league that, competitively speaking, might be certainly it's not what Mahasin experienced in Suburban Council, where they had to face, you know, programs like Shen and Colony and Bethlehem and Gilderland on a regular basis. So if they're already handling some of these upper echelon Colonial Council teams, I do expect them to at the very least contend for the Colonial Council title this year, if not win it. So obviously, you know, Mahasin is a team that you have to keep your eye on if you're following high school softball in this region. They could definitely be a force when the Class A playoffs come around. We'll just have to see, but they've got a lot of young talent, and they've got a solid pitcher, they got a solid infield, they can hit. So all told, this is a team that should be very good going forward. So when we get back on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, we're going to talk about fall sport, because the 2019 Section 2 football schedule and alignments are already out there. So we're going to go over it, okay? Here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Stay tuned. Is it too early to talk about Section 2 football? Heck no. The reason being, Section 2 released not only its 2019 football schedule, but also its football alignments. And there's been some movement, especially in the Class C and Class D ranks. For starters, Corinth, which is a Class C program, merged with or is now going to have players from Fort Edward come into the program as well. The only thing here is that Corinth has also decided that rather than play or remain in Class C, they will be dropping down to Class D for 2019, which makes them playoff ineligible. So Corinth and Fort Edward, well, the Corinth Fort Edward team is one of three new teams that will be in Class D. The other two being Helderberg Valley, which is moving back to D after playing in C last year and making the playoffs. And Chatham, which has been a Class C power for the last several years, they're dropping down to D as well. Moving up from Class D into Class C to replace those programs are Rensselaer and Hoosick Valley. Hoosick Valley is moving back to the C ranks after playing in D last year and getting to the Section 2 final where they lost to Warrensburg. Rensselaer, I believe, has been in Class D for a few years now, but they've kind of straddled the line between being a C and a D school, so they're moving into Class C now. One Class C team moving up to Class B, that would be Holy Trinity, which has been a power in the Central Division for the last couple years. Holy Trinity added Bishop McGinn to its list of schools where they get players from. Of course, most of Holy Trinity's players come from Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons in Schenectady and Catholic Central in Troy. I believe they still get some players from Saratoga Central Catholic as well. So Holy Trinity now is going to be playing in Class B this year. They will be in the Reinfort Division, along with Cobleskill Richmondville, Hudson, Ichabod Crane, Ravenna, and Chalmont. Other than that, the only other change, if you can call it a change, Albany, even though they're a Class AA program, they will be playing in Class A for the upcoming 2019 season. So they will be playoff ineligible. Albany's done this before. Basically, it's a competitiveness issue, I guess you could call it. They've struggled mightily against AA schools for quite some time now. There's like been 1 year where Albany, you know, had a chance to make the Class AA playoffs. They actually had like a three, I think it was like a 3-4 regular season. I think this is like 2 or 3 years ago. But anyway, but generally speaking, Albany's struggled against AA programs, so dropping down will help them be more competitive, but it also makes them playoff ineligible. So that's the only trade-off there. But Albany will be playing in the Capital Division this year in Class A, along with Amsterdam, Avril Park, Columbia, Green Tech, LaSalle, and Troy. So I guess the only other development that I want to mention here is that for Boston Spa, Columbia, and Troy, who had jumped down last year from AA into A when the beds numbers came in and kind of relegated them from AA status to A status. The beds numbers look like they're staying the same on that front. So that means that Troy and Boston Spa and Columbia, yes, I nearly lost my place there. Those three programs will be remaining in Class A, not just for football, probably for the vast majority of the other sports out there. The schedules, as I said, they came out. I don't know if I want to go too deep into this. I've been reporting on, you know, each of the, you know, different classes on CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. So I don't know how much I want to dive into the actual individual week-by-week schedules. Some of the highlights, obviously, are still going to be the key rivalry games. So, for instance, you got Mechanicsville versus Stillwater. That's going to be in week 6, coming up in 2019. Glens Falls, Schuylerville, that's going to be an actual early matchup between those two Class B powers. That will be taking place, I'm trying to remember now which week that is. Week 2, that game will be at Schuylerville, so that should be quite the showdown there. Of course, Glens Falls will be in their first season without Joseph Girard III at quarterback. He's, of course, going to be getting ready for his first year of playing NCAA Division I basketball at Syracuse. I'm trying to see something here, folks. Just give me a moment. Yep. And, of course, the two biggest Class AA traditional rivals, one of the two biggest traditional Class AA rivalry games. That would be Shaker versus Colony for the Town of Colony Cup, and Shenandoah versus Saratoga in the resumption of their little Northway rivalry there. It's not that little, actually. It's a very big rivalry. Those games will be played during week 8, which is the final week of the Class AA regular season. Of course, that will also be playoff time for a number of the other Section 2 programs in A, B, and C. AA is, going to be, I believe it's 9 teams this year. Class D is, of course, 6. So, really, there's not going to be a lot of, playoffs for them. It's just going to be, semifinals and then the finals. Actually, in Class D, I should point this out because it's kind of unique. If you pardon the paper rustling here, folks, I'm just trying to get back to the page I was looking at before. In Class D, you really only have 4 playoff eligible teams. That would be Warrensburg, Whitehall, Chatham, and Helderberg Valley. As I mentioned before, the Corinth Fort Edward team, they will be playoff ineligible because they're playing down 1 class level. And Cohoes, which is a Class B school, they are playing, of course, 2 levels down, and they will be playoff ineligible too. So basically, Class D, their 4 playoff teams are already determined. It's just a matter of who will be number 1, who will be number 2, who will be number 3, and who will be number 4. That will be determined, of course, during the course of the regular season. But, it's kind of unique when there's a class level where you already have your playoff team set. So, I wanted to point that one out. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, so, by and large, as I said, not a lot of changes in terms of teams shifting around, but certainly we'll have some interesting situations arise. For instance, how will Holy Trinity fare against some of these Class B schools? I think they're in a competitive division in Reinfort. Cobleskill Richmondville got to the Section 2 finals last year. Hudson is very good. Chalmont's very good. And I'm hoping that Ravenna kind of bounces back. They had a really rough season in 2018, both in terms of participation numbers and results on the field. That's not something that, people are used to seeing. So maybe Ravenna, that was like a 1-year lull, but you never know in these circumstances. I think another interesting thing will be, can Helderberg Valley, now that they're back in D, how well will they compete there? I mean, certainly Warrensburg as defending D champs. They were very strong last year. The Helderberg Valley, they look really good in Class C. They were certainly very competitive there. So we'll see how it all pans out. But overall, you know, we got to wait until, you know, about the end of August, beginning of September to see how these teams are shaping up before we can actually talk about who's actually going to be the favorites here. But certainly having the, you know, classes all sorted out, having the schedules all sorted out in early April, that's going to go a long way towards helping these teams prepare. So that's a look at what's going on in Section 2 football in the spring. So I'll be back with a few final words right after this. Before I go, I just want to let you know that now that we got the spring sports season in gear, we should be back to doing weekly episodes through the middle of June. So please tune in every Friday. I'll be dropping a new episode every Friday so that you can find out what's going on in Section 2. And I'll try to have some guests in future episodes. I want to see if I can convince some of my fellow area sports writers to join me to talk about, you know, what they've seen going on around here, as well as, you know, maybe even, you know, see if I can get a couple coaches, a couple athletes to guest as well. Meanwhile, this is Rob Jonas from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. We'll be back next Friday with much more. So thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next week.